She brings it over. Now they're going to set up their offense with about 5 seconds left to go. Shot is over. Harrison down low to Diggs at the buzzer. Got it to fall.
Raheem White out of the backfield in motion. They bring a blitz. Garrett drops. Garrett fires the ball down left side. Wide open receiver. Pass caught. Touchdown, West Virginia. Raheem White caught it.
Harrison brings it up the court. Step back three. Got it to fall. West Virginia shooting the ball very well from three-point range. And West Virginia gets the win, 94-40 here in the West Virginia Coliseum over the Youngstown State Penguins.
Comes Kedrian. He attacks against Tomlin. Sends the ball back up to Stevenson for a three. Got it!
West Virginia gets a win, 2-0 over the South Carolina Gamecocks, and they head to the Sun Belt Conference Championship game.
And welcome to episode 38 of the PRT Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Quinn. Alongside,
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Nico.
And we are here doing a little bit of an emergency episode as West Virginia has now found the next head coach of the men's basketball team, the 23rd head coach in the history of the university. Darren DeFreeze, coming from Drake, who led Drake to 6 consecutive 20-win seasons and has a 73% winning percentage as a head coach. This is a massive hire for West Virginia, not only because, I mean, you're closing the chapter on a huge story that has been written, and a lot of West Virginia fans love it and love the man dearly, and a lot of people thought he might be able to come back, but he was never coming back. That was never the case. But this opens up a new chapter of the program, and I think that's exactly what the program needs.
No, it really does, because, I mean, even you, Quinn, you told me, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago that you said that this guy was coming back.
I texted you about two and a half weeks ago and said, watch Darren DeFreeze. He might be the new coach, and things piled together. Once Darren DeFreeze, I think, got eliminated from the tournament, that's kind of when things started to pick up within Ren Baker. They then took, I know they had a Zoom meeting, and then they ended up having a in-person meeting, because Ren Baker is obviously currently in Iowa, so on his way there, you know, he just happened to stop at Drake, and I think he met, and they discussed, and obviously they came through with an agreement.
I mean, they liked what, I think Ren Baker saw something that, you know, he liked, and, you know, obviously he knows how to take a team to a few tournaments or two, but, you know, yeah. a great hire.
Yeah, DeFreeze, 5-year deal. He's taken Drake to the NCAA tournament 3 of the last 4 years. He has a 150-55 record over 6 seasons with Drake, so overall he's a great coach, and I think a great hire for this program.
His son's good, too.
Yeah, his son is very good.
Yeah, and that leads to the next point. His son, Tucker, so he has 2 kids, his wife, Ashley, and their children, Tucker and Tatum. Ren Baker said he knows that they're going to love and embrace West Virginians, and West Virginians will love and embrace them. On behalf of the Mountaineer family, I want to welcome the DeFreeze family to Morgantown. His son, Tucker, though, I'm going to try and see if I can find his son's stats.
I'm seeing here... MVC. Try saying that 10 times fast. Freshman of the year, yep. All MVC, second team. That's just what I got right here. But from what I've seen, the guy's good at what he does.
Yeah.
So
he averages this season 21.6 points, 6.7 rebounds.
So a thing about him is he was a top recruit in the country, but decided to follow his dad, or decided to go play for his dad at Drake rather than, you know, go somewhere big. And I think from what I have heard through other things that I've listened to before this, obviously, was that Tucker is very excited to have this opportunity, because not only was he showcasing his talent at a smaller school and did it year after year, he's now got an opportunity to come to West Virginia, play in the best basketball conference in the country, and prove himself even more.
Yeah, you killed 2 birds with 1 stone. Like, you know, he wanted to go and do, you know, play in a bigger league, but he chose to play with his dad, which I understand. You know, that's, you know, family.
Yeah, I mean, 100%, because when's the next, you know, he's never going to be able
to.
Right,
but now you get best of both worlds. You're in a Power 5 conference. You're in debatably the best basketball conference in college sports.
100%.
And you also get to play with your father as well. So you're getting all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just saying, jumping from the Missouri Valley Conference to the Big 12 is not going to be an easy leap.
No, it's not. Whatsoever. But
he's ready.
His stats kind of show that it's not going to hurt him, you know?
He'll turn out all right.
So that leads to the next point. Roster is going to be an issue. Me and Andy were talking about this on the way over. As of today when we recorded, today, which is March 25th, Kurt Carissa about... Let's see, it's 6 o'clock now. I think it was about an hour ago, tweeted a GIF from the Wolf of Wall Street. And it was a let's go kind of GIF. It has since been taken down. But a lot of people are now interested as to what that means. If you bring back Kurt Carissa, you have Tucker. You bring back Noah Farrakhan. You bring back Josiah Harris, Seth Wilson, Kobe Johnson. Let me go while I'm doing this because now I got my train of thought going. With the guys, here we go. This is perfect. I was going to pull up the tweet, but the article from Bach. Okay, so this is who is done. Jesse Edwards, Raekwon Battle, a cook, and could be done as Quinn Slezinski. He is right now looking to get a medical red shirt, so that'll be interesting as to if he gets it. Now, the guys with COVID year options are Farrakhan and Kerr Carissa, Pat Sumnick as well. Eligible to return, Jeremiah Bembry, who redshirted this year, so he will be back. Josiah Harris, who's only a sophomore. Kobe Johnson, who's a junior. Offrey Neveh, I would anticipate he stays. Ali Ragab, I would anticipate he probably stays. He might actually leave, though, because they only brought him in to size up Jesse. Aiden Tegeloa Nelson, who is a part of the football team, is going to return as well. Not for sure if he's going to play. That would probably be a Neil Brown decision. And then you have Seth Wilson, who's also potential return. None of these guys have entered the portal yet. And then Carmelo Adkins is incoming, a guard, incoming in the freshman class. So even though you've had a lot of coaching changes, you're still sticking with Carmelo Adkins. And I don't know if anything has developed within the last few hours or so, but Carmelo Adkins is still committed to West Virginia. So that's still big for West Virginia. You have a lot of guys with an opportunity to play. And then I would also assume that I know that there's about 5 or 6 players from Drake that have already entered the portal. And a lot of those guys I have heard are already looking at West Virginia to transfer here. So you're going to be able to build your roster up quickly. Now, this is his first opportunity. He's going to have big NIL. Okay. I mean, West Virginia's probably got, I'd say, top 15 NIL in the country. Probably top 10, honestly. So that'll be interesting as to them, or just to see, you know, kind of how those things go on the NIL side. So he's going to have a lot of work to do when he gets here. The press conference will be Thursday at 11. That will be kind of his first little day. But I just want to, before we dive deeper into him, because this is all we're going to talk about today, before we dive into more of him, just give me your initial thoughts. What does this mean? Are you excited for this? Are you anxious for this? I'm going to start with this. Okay. Me and Andy last year got to experience a team that was in and out last year. And we got to experience an Eric Stevenson, who is one of the most exciting players and to put on the uniform here. We got to experience those kind of things.
Josiah Harris, too? Who was the guy that left and went to Texas Tech? I'm thinking
Joe Toussaint. You were
Joe
right.
Joe Toussaint, yes.
We got to experience guys like that. You came in your first year. They didn't even win 10 games.
I got to experience Raekwon Battle and Jesse Edwards.
Hey, that's not bad.
Hey.
But tell me with you, what are you feeling? What are you excited? What's your feelings when you go through and you see a guy that has a winning percentage like this, has taken his team to the NCAA tournament 3 out of the last 4 years? Give me your thoughts on that.
I'm overall excited. Looking at his track record, it's obviously a good track record. If he's able to bring his son in and a couple of those players from Drake's not a bad school whatsoever. They've made the tournament the last couple of years. Yeah. They've proven that they're a good school. And, you know, I just think for this to truly work out, a big thing that will need to happen is in the transfer portal, I think they're going to have to bring in a big man.
Sorry, there is breaking news as we were recording this.
Oh?
Marshall head basketball coach Dan D'Antoni has been forced out.
Really?
Huh.
An assistant and alumni Cornelius Jackson will take over as head coach for Dan D'Antoni.
Wow.
So, I'm sorry. Okay. Were you done?
I was just saying they need to get a big man because they're not going to have Jesse. They're not going to have a cook. If they're able to bring back guys like Kerr, Noah, Josiah, Offrey, if they could bring those guys back and bring in a couple new guys from the transfer portal and get some recruits, I think this team will shape up to be really good coming into next season.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I thought after this year, they'd pretty much be done. Like, you know, I thought that they were gonna be on the rise, and then once Eric Stevenson left, I was like, okay. Then the whole thing with Bob Huggins went down. I'm like, okay, well, we're gonna have a few more years of rebuilding and tanking for, you know, draft picks or whatever. You know, that's not my actual thought process, but you get the sentiment. Basically, after that, you know, I just thought that we'd be rebuilding for a long time. But when you bring DeVries in, I think that will rebuild this team in a year. You know, maybe it won't be that fast, but it will be extremely quick. And I'm not going to say right now, this is all speculation, but I think West Virginia might actually go back to the tournament next year. You know, it might be a bold claim. I'm not sure if that's a hot take or not.
But I wouldn't
be surprised if Darian DeVries takes this West Virginia team to another tournament. I'm not going to say Final Four. I'm not going to say Elite Eight because that's a bit ambitious. However, tournament bound, I think, is completely possible.
So I'm going to back you up on this. Okay. Now, a lot of people would say that's a stretch. Okay. I mean, it is a little bit, but...
A little bit, yes.
But if you look at the hires that Ren Baker has made, who is getting ready to play the best college basketball player tonight in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament?
J.J. Quinterly.
No, the coach.
Oh, the coach. Mark Kellogg, sorry.
In his first year.
Yeah.
It's not a stretch. I trust Ren Baker completely. I think this is a great hire. A lot of people wanted to see Mark Byington from James Madison. He was the second guy from what I have heard.
Didn't he get hired to Vanderbilt today?
He did get hired at Vanderbilt. So that was my next point. So it's interesting. He didn't get the West Virginia job. But I wonder if Vanderbilt had like already contacted and he's already, you know, he's like, I just think some things went down and Ren Baker ultimately was like, well, I want to get DeVries before anybody else. Because there is still one big school out there that has not yet hired a coach. Do you know what school that is?
Oh, I know it.
Don't say it because I was talking to you about it last night.
Is it Ohio State?
No, so they elevated their coach. So they fired their coach, right? Their coach went to DePaul. They elevated their interim coach. It actually worked out for them, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, but I feel like I know but I don't at the same time.
ACC.
Oh, I was going to say Michigan. It's not ACC.
No, Michigan hired Dusty May.
Oh, yeah, they just did.
Yeah. All right, it's Louisville.
That's what it is.
So Louisville has yet to hire a coach. Yet. Now, think of the rich history that Louisville has. Now, I don't know if they attacked a guy like I don't know if they went for him. I don't know. But I think it's very interesting that Louisville was yet to name a coach. They're really taking their sweet old time. And Dusty May was rumored to go there like it was about to come out. They've set up for a press conference, apparently. And obviously that didn't happen because he's going to Michigan. And I just want to know, you have to pay a guy a lot of money to move from Boca Raton, Florida to Ann Arbor, Michigan. You got to pay him a lot of money. And they're not paying him that much money. Now the contract stuff with DeVries is yet to be released. It will be released soon because it is a public institution. So that stuff will be public. So people will obviously find that out. I would assume, so it is a five-year contract. We do know that.
Do we know how much it's worth,
though? No, that's what I was saying. That hasn't been. I don't know if that's really been discussed yet. That may be an in-person kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But just to give a little deep. So he was at Creighton. You had mentioned he was at Creighton, correct?
Yeah.
So he was at Creighton. Obviously, Creighton has historically, the last couple of years at least, been really, really good. But he was at Creighton for a while. And actually, there is a West Virginia connection. Now, there is always a West Virginia connection. I want you two to know this. There is always a West Virginia connection, wherever you may go. Just like in the NCAA tournament in Iowa, one of the referees that's working that little region. Mm-hmm. It's from Fairmont, West Virginia. I'm telling you, there's always a West Virginia connection, okay?
And if there's a West Virginia connection, you're going to know it.
100%. So with him, when I believe, don't know the year. It was the year that WVU defeated Wake Forest. I want to say 2007. Yes, I do want to say, or maybe it was 2005. Yeah, it was 2005. So when WVU went to beat Wake Forest in that year of 2005, they defeated Creighton in the NCAA tournament, where DeFries was an assistant coach.
That was before I was born.
I know. Wow. Yeah, he's been doing this a while. But in his first season at Drake, DeFries led the Bulldogs to a 24-10 record after inheriting a team with the second fewest returning letter winners in the nation. This guy sounds perfect for the job. Because, I mean, if there are... I mean, no one's entered the portal yet. As of right now, I can go ahead and check right now, but as of right now, no one from West Virginia has entered the portal, at least to my knowledge.
And the portal's been open for a good bit, too.
Yes.
So the anyone on the team has really had ample time to, you know, jump ship if they wanted to, and you have a very shocked look like you just found something out.
Yeah, people are freaking out because... with the Dan D'Antoni thing, people are, it's bad. All right, that's really bad. Okay, well,
have we gone over his accomplishments?
I mean, he took who?
DeVries. DeVries.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he led them to a 24-10 record in his first year, led the Bulldogs to their first regular season MVC title since 2008 and the program's 12th all-time postseason appearance. Despite losing a potential conference player of the year candidate due to a season-ending knee injury in the first game of conference play. In his first season as head coach, he was named the MVC Coach of the Year and received the National Coach of the Year Award. That's pretty good.
That's good, yes.
This past season, though, DeFries led Drake to a 28-7 record, capping the season with the MVC tournament title and the Bulldogs' third NCAA tournament appearance in the last 4 years. Drake's 28 victories this season are the most since recording 28 in 2008. DeFries made made history in his second season at Drake, becoming the first coach to lead an 8 seed to a win over the top seed in the MVC tournament, downing Northern Iowa 77-56. And the 2020 postseason was canceled after the UNI victory due to COVID-19. His Bulldogs won 20 games, marking the first time since 1971 the program had 20 or more games, had won 20 more games in consecutive seasons.
Really?
Like I said, winner after winner after winner. So in his third year, they got off to an 18-0 start and an appearance in the AP Top 25. Despite losing two of his top players to injury, he led Drake to its first at-large NCAA tournament bid in years. Now, mind you, as an MVC school, that is really hard to do. Like this year, Indiana State didn't get the at-large like they probably should have, and Drake took that MVC bid. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do. Despite losing two... Okay, so I already read that part. He was named MVC Coach of the Year and the second time in 3 years. They finished that season with a 26-5 record. So this guy can win. And he can do it really, really quick.
And he's got, I think, from what I'm seeing here, he's got three championships underneath his belt too. The one MVC regular season championship in 2019, and then two MVC tournament championships in 23 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you're taking a decent, you know, Drake team throughout a decently difficult MVC conference. And yeah, you won them back to back.
And the MVC seems like every year has those schools that will pull off the upsets. I mean, in the tournament, like
right,
you have Northern Iowa. A couple years ago, they won on a buzzer beater. I think they even went to the Sweet 16. Maybe mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this is and actually, what's funny, he's a graduate of Northern Iowa. He played there, and then and he ranks 31st all time in career scoring at Northern Iowa. He was a two-time MVC Scholar Athlete Team Selection and a two-time team captain.
Another really big team in the MVC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. UMBC.
UMBC is in there. That's true. I did forget they are in that conference, which they were the first team to a number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament.
I don't know if it's Baltimore County or Baltimore City, but you get the point.
I think it's county.
I think it's county.
It's county.
I think it's county. But the point is... UMBC so, is in that conference.
The point of this is West Virginia has got a guy that knows what he's doing, and he's got a son that knows how to play basketball.
Oh, does he know how to play basketball?
So his son Tucker recently became the ninth ever player and first since Doug McDermott to win the MVC Player of the Year trophy in back-to-back seasons while playing at Drake. He was also named an Associated Press All-American Honorable Mention selection earlier this month. So his son's pretty good. So obviously that came out right after that DeFreeze was being hired, that his son was most likely going to follow him. That's huge in itself.
Oh, it's ginormous.
So I think when you're talking about the future of this program, it's in great hands. I don't think that there was another guy that has... I mean, Mark Byington, yeah, he... I mean, yeah, he got his team to the round of 32 this year, and obviously they were off to one of their... probably their best season in history at JMU, but I don't know. I think DeFreeze, I think this is a great hire for Ren Baker. Now, it depends if the players stick around. His coaching file, as Nico kind of already mentioned it, so he was a Creighton graduate manager from 1998 to 2001, an assistant coach from 2002 to 2018 at Creighton, and then was head coach from 2018 to now 2024, and is now at the University of West Virginia. Now, he has been in a postseason tournament every year as a head coach, CIT in his first year, round of 64 in his third year, CBI in his fourth year, fifth year, and then the last 2 years he has been to the NCAA tournament.
So he's really consistent.
Yeah, very consistent. Now, CBI and CIT, you pay your way in, but...
but still.
I mean, postseason's a postseason. You got to have a good record to get there, to get those invites, you know? Yeah,
it's more than West Virginia had this year.
That's true.
Very true.
Game.
Marshall played in, I think, the CIT. It was the year after they went to the NCAA tournament. But, like, this guy knows how to win. He really knows how to win. He has an overall record of 150 wins to 55 losses. That is huge. Now, obviously, this is different than MVC. But he can most certainly learn. He's going to have to retain some of this roster and also bring in some of his roster if he can do that. I think his first order of business will be getting that freshman to stay committed. I think that's got to be... and then you got to hit the ground running on recruiting, because I don't think we had a freshman this year. Yes, Offrey Neve.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That one doesn't really count, though. He's an international freshman.
Yeah.
So when you're talking freshmen around the country, we have one in, what, the last 2 years coming in? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds right, yeah.
When then Josiah Harris, and then you had Josiah Davis last year who transferred away. I mean, that's the new age of college athletics, though, is you're going to have transfer portal guys,
right?
You know. And before Bob, you know, did his things, West Virginia had the top transfer portal recruiting class. Me and Andy recorded one of these emergency episodes talking about this recruiting class, and then it all just went right down the hill. They only got 9 wins, but hey, they got one over Kansas, and that's all that matters.
That was a great game.
For
where we were and where we ended up after the postseason, I think this is a win.
Now, I'm gonna say this, because we haven't been on here since the end of the season. You have to give credit to Josh Eilert, because what he did, no
situation?
One else could do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Come in exactly in that situation, win 9 games. That was as tough as it is.
And one over Kansas.
And get one over Kansas and one over Texas as well. Those
That's
are
true.
Two tournament teams. You have to remember, that wasn't his calling at all. He was never wanted the intention to be the head coach here. Was then elevated. Actually, he got elevated twice in 1 year because they fired Larry Harrison. Ren Baker, I believe, fired Larry Harrison because the team got off that skid. You remember that? They got off to that skid in conference play. Fired Larry Harrison, who was doing all of the setting up, scouting, stuff like that. Josh Eilert then gets elevated from a graduate assistant to a regular assistant, and then to the head assistant, and then gets moved up to the interim head coach. Now, obviously, it's tough, man. It's really tough.
Yeah, I mean, especially with all that original transfer portal stuff with Raekwon and all those other guys.
And you, Josh Eiler, poor guy, had to go test. He had to go. He was sitting in court listening to Raekwon, his player, you know, testify in front of the court. Like, he just had probably the worst strain of months any guy could have in this industry. Now, you have to give credit to him because he didn't quit.
Oh, yeah.
He did not. He never quit.
He stuck to it the entire year.
He stuck to it. He didn't quit. Didn't show signs of quitting. And his team didn't never really quit on him.
No.
I think there were times that maybe the losses seemed like they did, but I don't think his team ever did.
No.
Obviously, tough loss in the Big 12 tournament to Cincinnati, who you probably should have beaten because you were up 15 at one point, I think. I don't know. I didn't watch the game because I was doing a baseball game that day. But should have probably beaten Cincinnati, all that stuff. But that stuff's in the past now. You got a new coach coming in who is a proven winner, who has one of the best records I've seen come into a Big 12 school. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I'm really excited for next basketball season. Obviously, it's going to be forever for it to get here.
Right.
I mean, because that offseason last year seemed like it took forever. And well, then we get here, we open up. We almost lose to George Mason. We're sitting in Orlando watching the game. A cook goes down. I was like, oh, here goes number one. I made that joke. I said, here goes thing number one that's going to go wrong this year. That was a complete joke. Little did I know.
Little did little Quinn know.
That's, wow.
That was the furthest thing from a joke that you could ever, yeah.
And then we only won 9 games. But
for what it was worth, I think he was given a complete crap hand.
The hand he was dealt
was horrible.
Was terrible.
But he played it as best as he possibly could.
The luckiest man on earth could not walk into a casino and win money on that.
On that hand.
Yeah, exactly.
No. No, that's like winning off a 7-2. 7-2 split in poker. Like
you're playing blackjack and you get a 5.
No, it's like it's like you're playing blackjack and you get an Uno card.
Yeah, exactly. You get the reverse card. A lot of things are happening. Ren Baker, I do believe, has made another good hire. There's been a lot of things that he's done. Now that my mind is clicking, there are some things that I want to bring up before we end things here.
Mm-hmm.
Some new things that Ren Baker has done. Hired a new volleyball coach, but then he also restructured Neil Brown's contract to where it benefits both sides. One, it's a cheaper buyout if Neil goes out there and lays an egg. Don't think he's going to do that.
Nope.
Two, it gets more money for Neil's staff, but it also gets Neil another year here. A lot of fans upset, but you have to look at this year.
Yeah.
This year. You don't look in the past. If you're a coach, you never look in the past unless you won a national championship. I mean, hey.
Nick Saban's done that a few times.
Well, Nick Saban ain't doing that anymore. but if you look positive and you look at this past season, look at what he did.
Absolutely.
He won the best bowl game there is and got a thankful of mayo dumped on him.
Ren Baker got himself one, too.
Ren Baker did, all for charity.
I will just say, I predicted that from the beginning of the year.
I did, too. I've always been a Neil Brown guy. I've always loved his energy. And now this year where I have sat in these press conferences, I've called a game.
Mm-hmm.
I see the energy around this team. This team might win the Big 12. I'm not saying they are, so don't attack me.
Allegedly.
You two. Allegedly. But they have very strong potential to win the Big 12.
Football. I agree.
I mentioned that because spring, oh boy, Shohei Ohtani just addressed the gambling saga.
Uh-oh.
Oh but Neil Brown, the spring football started today. That's why I wanted to mention that. But I think the next thing to mention, the women's basketball team is playing in the round of 32 tonight.
That is right.
I won't have this uploaded by the time. Yeah, I won't, because we go on the air in about an hour. So I won't be posting this before the game. I don't know. I might. Yeah,
ooh, during the game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I might be able to throw it in there before the game. But so they have had a good season, and we'll try to come back on here next week and dive into these things. But it's hard because I'm calling baseball games and
we're being full-time students as well.
Being student, it's hard. Obviously, Griffin's not here because of that stuff. So it's hard, but I think we had to come on here and talk about our thoughts. I guess I never really gave my thought on DeFreeze.
I guess
that could be the closing action.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Go on.
I think he's going to be an outstanding coach. I think he's going to love the state. I think a lot of people are upset because he doesn't have a tie to West Virginia.
Okay.
But what you have to notice is, and Brad Howe, who's on the Three Guys podcast, I listen to a lot, is he came from Iowa. Now look at him. He's been here for years.
Yeah.
He says that Iowa, you find things that are alike between these two states.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to find that, and I think he's going to enjoy being here. I think his family's going to love it. I think his son's going to come here and thrive.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to be a great two-guard combo with Kirk Arisa if he decides to stay. I think that this is upside for this team. So I think that this is positive. I think Renbaker did a very good job at hiring this, at making this hire, I should say. And I think that you couldn't really have gone anywhere else. I don't think there's another coach out there that has this sort of record. But I do think a lot of people from the start have been saying Mark Byington, Mark Byington, Mark Byington. One guy in particular, the voice of Morgantown, was saying Mark Byington. He even claimed that there was a handshake deal. Well, it's Darren DeFreeze, and he's coming next year. But I think West Virginia is going to be in great hands, and we'll see. This has just been a quick 30-minute episode of the PRT Boys podcast. You can catch us on Apple Podcast as well as Spotify when I choose to upload it because I always forget.
I will force him to. Can,
hey, and if I do this, get this uploaded, tune in tonight where I'll be hosting.
Oh, you're hosting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be there.
I'll be hosting pregame as the West Virginia Mountaineers play somebody by the name of Caitlin.
Yeah, just her little known.
She's pretty good.
Only the best player in the country.
Yeah.
So you've been listening
to episode mediocre.
No. It's opinionated.
Opinionated. Yeah. No, no.
Might agree with you. But God, I'm terrible. This has been emergency edition of the PRT Boys podcast. This is like emergency episode part three because we've done this before.
Yeah.
But it has also been episode 38. The PRT Boys podcast right here on U92 Moose.